the IPv4 pool is not the solution. It will take us a little bit further, perhaps, but IPv6 is here. It is widely available. There is there were early problems in terms of not having hardware and or software that supported it. Those are problems of the past. So any expansion of the internet, be it in the developing world or the developed world, there's consensus that that needs to happen with IPv6. There is no way we can continue to grow this global community unless we move to IPv6. And we see encouraging efforts in that happening. But we also we need to do more, of course, to promote the use of IPv6. There are also very encouraging developments where you see so-called leapfrogging with parts of the world or who have not had wide deployment of IPv4, but who actually, instead of going to IPv4, look at deploying IPv6 directly when building new networks. And I think that needs to be the solution for all of us.
Maritza?
Hello, my name is Marisa, for the record. Are the IPv addresses equally distributed between regions, or what are the criteria for distribution? Thank you.
they're really not. It's not an equal distribution among regions. As Narani said earlier, for IPv4, for an RIR to go to IANA and get blocks of IPv4, they had to provide the need. They had to show that they had used whatever block, a certain percentage of the block that they already had. So it really, with IPv4, it was really needs-based. There was a lot of things done over the years to try to make IPv4 last as long as it could, and needs basis was one of the most important of that. So it's not an equal distribution. It's based on needs.
And is it applies the same for IPv6? I think so.
Yes, it's the same for IPv6.
Namsa, did you have a question?
Sorry, my name is Namsa. I wanted to find out how rigorous is the outreach in terms of encouraging the use of IPv6. I see a lot of issues, like for example, in my region of the. In this region, we see a lot of use of netting instead of actually implementing IPv6, which is actually, we're more of expanding the IPv4 by using another strategy. And so I just wanted to understand how rigorous your outreach program is.
So each of the RIRs have a very rigorous outreach program. I can speak for Aaron, the American Registry for Internet Numbers. We have spent many, many, many hours and resources on getting the word out to people. We've been doing this for over 10 years now. Myself, I've volunteered and have gone out and done training and provided documentation to conferences and to people that have just asked for help on deploying IPv6. So in the Aaron region, it's a top priority to provide education, information, and push for the deployment of IPv6.
So what exactly is the problem with all that outreach, and I see it in our region as well, what are the main challenges that are causing people to, instead of use IPv6, expand on the already limited resource in IPv4?
So I think the main issue is that it's IPv6 is not backwards compatible with IPv4, and it's very difficult take a huge network and turn it and change it from IPv4 to IPv6. It takes a lot of time, effort, resources. Vendors had a hard time providing gear that would actually do IPv6 and provide you all the functionality features that you have in IPv4. It took a while for that to mature. And then it's really the resource. Having a in business, actually having your board approve for you to go out and spend this money just for IPv6. So it's really a migration strategy that you have to do. As older platforms end of life, you have to be sure that what you're replacing it with is IPv6 capable. So it's business.
Sorry. We have one more question, and our guests have another meeting to get to, so can we share contact information? Is that okay? Okay. John, go ahead. Last question, and we'll share contact information.
Hi, John from Fiji. I understand the RIRs are giving now, still giving IPv4 addresses. I am from the Pacific region, so we fall under APNIC. APNIC is currently giving, I think, /22 to all the ISPs that want IPv4 address. So what is AENA doing in terms of the deployment of IPv6? Because I understand the ISPs are getting /32 now. So it's 32 of IPv6, and they are not using most of the developing countries. They haven't deployed IPv6. So what is AENA doing on that?
What's your question about what AENA is doing in terms of making sure IPv6 addresses are used properly, or in encouraging the use of
E6? Yes,
right. I think. I should say that I'm not too sure what the AENA does, because I don't represent the AENA, but I can speak more about what the RIRs do, and I think John spoke about that a little bit. What you were describing is, because in essence at the moment, all the RIRs are at their final block, so to speak, the /8 of that they received from AENA. And so the community have developed various policies to make sure that that final block is not just given away in large chunks to whoever wants it. So I think all the 5 RIRs have developed policies to make sure that even though you don't get a huge block of addresses, you get a little bit to at least help you also migrate to IPv6. And the idea is that you is to encourage people to use IPv6. When it comes to the usage of IPv6, I think the criteria are very flexible at the moment, because they want people to start getting IPv6 addresses and using it. So there have not been rigorous auditing of how much of those IPv6 addresses are used, because the idea is that there is such a vast pool of IPv6 addresses, and we need to allow people to apply for addresses and without it being too difficult, and then giving them the time to actually migrate to IPv6. And then, of course, like John said, APNIC has a very extensive training program as well. They have a team of trainers that go around the whole region. I know they've been to Fiji several times as well to try to help people understand IPv6 and how to deploy it. So I hope that answered your question. And I visited Fiji, and I actually was part of a training program like that. So, I very much enjoyed it.
Just to add one thing.
Please.
And just to add one point to your question, it's the policies are developed mainly for management of the IP addresses, but always in the back of everybody's mind that's working on policy is to ensure protection of the global routing table. And with IPv6, it would be, if you gave out smaller pieces, it would be very easy to quickly blow up the global routing table. So the The idea there is that you give a slash 32 to the smallest that you give to an ISP is a slash 32. They may never come back for more, but they'll only have one entry into the routing table, global routing table.
So, Narani, John, thank you very much for coming. I know that we had you sitting there for a few minutes, but if there are any questions, please feel free to send them to me, and I will forward them on and share some contact information and get them off to the right place. So enjoy your next meeting, and thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you for...
We would very much like to stay and continue the talk, but we have a hard stop and we have somewhere we have to be very soon.
But please feel free to approach us if you see us and ask us any of these questions. We'd be very happy to engage with you further. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Biran Gillen. I'm a alumni of the fellowship program. I'm also a former ALAC member of the at-large region representing Africa. So I was supposed to pop in 2 days ago, but your schedule was back-to-back, so Jeannie sort of told me to come back another time when you have a bit of a freer schedule. It's going to be very short and sweet. Just ignore my partner here on the side trying to grab my microphone. But basically, the reason I'm here is because my friend, myself and a few other ladies who have been in the ICANN system for some time now, have noticed that, well, sorry guys, I know this is going to sound really sexist, but really this is more for the ladies here today. So what we want to do is we want to basically give that hand to most of the ladies in the region that are coming into the meeting and feel a bit overwhelmed, feel that they're not fitting in, or feel that they sort of don't have the contacts they need to get some of their questions answered. So what we've decided to do is set up a mailing list where the more seasoned ones are able to sort of give a hand to the ones that are just coming, the greener ones, so to speak. So what I'm going to do is, before your session ends in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to circulate a sort of a sheet of paper around so that all ladies can just put their names down on their list. Because this program is sort of new, but we're trying to work with ISOC to make it a bigger thing and probably work with the chapters as well all over, not necessarily just the African region. So it's just starting up now. So please, ladies, put your names down on the list. I'm going to circulate it. We're going to set up the mailing list. No question is stupid. Please, if you need any information, whether it's ICANN, IGF, you name it, anything to do with basically the internet ecosystem, you throw it on that mailing list. And if you feel that's a bit too much or you feel shy, we will also share our personal email addresses and you can send us personal messages if you wish. Thank you for this time, Jeannie.
Of course. Sorry, please. Hello, Jenny. Is today International Women's Day again?
I'm sorry?
I was wondering if we have another International Women's Day again.
If it is.
So we have about 10 minutes before we take our break. And we're going to take about a 15-minute break before we come back for our closed session. So how's everybody feeling? How's everybody doing? Good? Yeah? Maritza, how is it? Yeah? Yay? Yay? Yeah? So when we come back from our coffee break, we're going to... Hello. Hello. That's okay. It's okay. When we come back from our coffee break, we're going to...